We won't be silent. We will be super zeros. We won't apologize. We are the super zeros.
It's Super Zeros issue 5, and it's a special one this week because it was Comic-Con last week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, probably the biggest, I would say the biggest nerd event of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there, especially bigger than the local legend we attended a while back.
For issue 3 or 4 we did that? I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that I would say that. But before we get into all that, thanks for coming back again this time for issue 5. I am Proficient Paul.
And I am Rabid Ryan.
Ooh, Rabid. Maybe just one of these weeks you'll do the R word you always say you're going to do. But we can... we can address that later.
I don't want to do that word.
But getting back to Comic-Con, let's just jump right into it. Let's get into Plugged In real quick.
All right.
And I would say, I mean, I people throw the word around like Mecca when they talk Comic-Con.
Yeah, you have to face it and pray 5 times a
day.
Yeah,
I would definitely say it's that big of an event. However, I guess I'd put it this way. Film probably has, in terms of festivals, what does film really have? Like Cannes?
Yeah, you got
Sundance.
Cannes. You have Sundance. Mostly the big indie kind of festivals. Doesn't Tribeca have one, probably?
Something like, yeah. And then technology has... Well, that's what, like South by Southwest, isn't that technology? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in terms of everything geeky and nerdy and comic book related, it's about as big as it gets at San Diego. I've never been. I'd love to go. But when you're like a, I also think it's kind of unfair because when you're, you know, Midwestern as we are, or even on the East Coast, it's not just the ticket price to get into Comic-Con. It's the flying
the
there. Yeah, like the staying there. So
I know. Can't just greyhound it with ease.
Maybe one of these days. Yeah, it's not like, what was the one we went to? Chaparral's Community Center.
It was a fine local place, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
Parking was free.
Right, right. I mean, to me, if you're a San Diego resident and you're not going to Comic-Con, I would say that's... You're wasting a great opportunity.
You might be smoking instead, though, which is also another opportunity.
Maybe.
You could do both, though, I would think.
And I think the other thing, obviously the big thing with Comic-Con now is it's become, it's a double-edged sword to me because it's become such an event that it's cool, but I almost don't like that. I almost resent it because of that.
It's mainstream cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they announce things there that have nothing to do with comics.
Right.
All the time. It's sort of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You have artists in there that have nothing to do with rock and roll. You know, it becomes this big thing, and you sort of lose sight of why it was originally formed.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, the backlash, like you said, it becomes sort of uncool almost. Because it's so cool
right.
to the mainstream.
Right.
But it also breaks down doors. You know, we can get away with talking to a lovely lady at a bar about Avengers, you know, and take her home potentially. In the past, no.
I guess it's probably the only place on Earth where knowing, like, the entire history of Batman would get you laid.
Oh, yeah. By, like, 5 Wonder Women at once.
No. Knowing all the line producers that have worked on the Batman films will actually get you chicks.
Oh, absolutely. Kinky, dressed up, role play. Now, would that be called cosplay or cock play? Or is that...
This guy's got... He's got jokes. He's got jokes this week, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness.
I would love to cosplay. I mean, some people... Did you see the guy from Mythbusters, what his outfit was?
No, I didn't.
He had the full spacesuit from the first Alien movie,
really?
the one that goes outside and gets the face hugger attached.
Really?
And he spent 10 years on it.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, he did. He spent 10 years on it because of weathering it. He weathered it to look just like it was in sort of a harsh environment and torn up, and it took a while.
Now, see, I'm not too crazy. I mean, I think cosplay's cool, but I'm not, like, too crazy about it. I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh man, this year when I go to Comic-Con, I'm going to dress up as this or that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're devoting years to a costume, you've lost me, I think, a little bit.
Well, I mean, Adam Savage from Mythbusters, though, I mean, he's devoted to, he collects spacesuits, I guess. That's his thing from all different.
That's your thing?
That's one of his things. I mean, come on. He's a bone. I mean, can you get nerdier than that?
No, I agree. He's not. That is nerdy. I will 100% agree that.
I mean,
he is nerdy.
Real spacesuits, right. Sci-fi spacesuits, right. You name it. So right. It's not like he spent 10 years slaving away on this and put his Mythbuster series on hold. You know, like, sorry, honey, I can't come down to dinner tonight. I'm working on weathering my spacesuit. Right. It wasn't that intense.
Well, here's a funny little bit of information. You brought up Adam Savage from Mythbusters. This is completely unrelated. The other guy, Jamie Heineman? Is that the other guy?
I think that's his name.
He wears the beret.
Right. That's all he does.
He was born in my hometown.
Oh, was he really?
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the information I like to drop on people when they bring up Mythbusters.
You ever see him walking around?
No, I don't. I think he was born there and then, like, they immediately moved. Yeah.
No surprise.
It's not like he ever comes back to where I'm from and
he doesn't pay tribute.
Like, yeah, no, nothing.
Have
like
a big
that.
Fundraiser like LeBron James does around here in Ohio.
No, nothing like that. What were we talking about? We were talking about Comic-Con. I would have to say, though, I read this interesting story. You brought up cosplay. I'd say the winner of cosplay at this year's Comic-Con would actually be Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe. Did you see what he did?
What did he go as? No.
He dressed up as Spider-Man in a full Spider-Man costume and actually walked the floor because no one could tell it was him.
Really? Yep. That's interesting.
And I read as well Jack Black dress up as a stormtrooper this year.
Oh, well, there's way you're going to spot him then.
So you could walk the floor. So I guess that's becoming like a popular thing now with the celebrities at Comic-Con. Since they want to walk the floor, they actually dress up in like costumes that cover their faces.
Well, you know, I also saw, did you see that a lot of complaints have been filed this year for sexual harassment from female cosplayers?
Like females are grabbing men?
No. Oh, no, like females are getting felled up and looked at.
That
doesn't surprise me. Yeah, I'm sure that's been going around since way before Comic-Con. they've been calling it, there's a term called creeping at a con.
Okay. Well, I think
so. They're actually calling for a more formal anti-harassment policy to be established.
Well, you and I have been to a few cons in our day.
Yeah.
I mean, we never really felt anybody up, but we were creeping people.
You can't not creep when there's a lady at a local con.
Like,
first of all,
wearing
it's the
a bikini.
Only one. Yeah, wearing a bikini because she's Charlie's Angels, you know, or some shit. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just eyes forward? Let me just look at the artwork.
Right. No, I completely agree. I think that next year, for sure, you need to go to Lexington with me. If we don't go to Wizard World in Cleveland, we definitely should go to. We should definitely go to the Lexington Comic Con together, like I did this year.
That's so almost too nerdy for me to eat. Like, I can't check myself in at some place called Wizard World.
No, the second you got there, you would feel right at home. I'm telling you right now.
I feel like it's just D&D there.
This is coming from the guy that was like dying to watch Game of Thrones the other day. Let's take it easy.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Game of Thrones. There's anything wrong with something that is extremely nerdy, but
we will we'll get into Game of Thrones in a different episode. We can discuss my distaste for it, but I'll get into the things we actually want to talk about this week, since we did cosplay for a while. There were a few things that we didn't get at Comic-Con this year. I think every year, you know, there's so much buzz going into Comic-Con, and we expect so much. When it's over, you kind of remember, oh yeah, we were supposed to find out this, and we're supposed to find out that. So a couple of things I noticed was DC did nothing in terms of their large scale production schedule that we talked about in an earlier issue, where they were going to do Shazam and Sandman and Green Lantern and Flash team up movie, and then another Superman and Justice League. They gave no details out on that.
I was sort of surprised by that too.
Which was kind of interesting. And speaking of the leaked DC schedule, according to some sources out on the internet, apparently that schedule could be one of three things: inaccurate.
Kevin Smith wrote it.
Incomplete, or completely fake. So that might not even be a true list. But the thing I can't figure out is, it came from a Hollywood reporter. So why don't they just ask that person, hey, did you just fucking completely make this up? Or I don't understand.
That person's been silenced already.
I don't even understand.
Can't even find them. They're like Snowden somewhere.
But the thing I think that made me realize we didn't learn about the production schedule was, all leading up into Comic-Con, Dwayne The Rock Johnson kept dropping hints that he was going to be a superhero in an upcoming superhero movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the most information I had from DC, was from The Rock's Twitter.
Right, and he was saying things basically leading me to believe he was going to be Shazam.
Or Black Adam.
Or Black Adam, true. And then we got nothing. And then The Rock has gone completely quiet. So I don't know if he was just doing that to build hype for his Hercules movie that's coming out. I don't know why that was that way. The other thing, this was not necessarily something from Comic-Con, but... I don't know if this is even a character you necessarily enjoy. Some Deadpool movie footage was leaked online yesterday.
I did hear about this. I go back and forth with the character, to be honest with you.
Couple things that disappointed me. I watched it. We'll put it up on the blog so you can watch it after the episode or before the episode or however you want to do it. First of all, it's CGI. That's not real actors. And that kind of bugged me, but... with the things that kind of Deadpool can do, I understand it's probably going to be a majority CGI anyway. So you got to kind of take the good and bad. The other thing I know you won't like. The voice of Deadpool was Ryan Reynolds.
Well, as long as I don't have to look at him.
In the footage that was leaked, it was about a 2-minute clip. I got to say, the graphics looked spectacular. They looked really good. He assaults four guys in a like an Escalade. So the fight scene, it looks great.
Does he break the fourth wall the whole time?
Oh yeah,
that's what annoys.
Yeah,
the
beginning of the footage, he's sitting on like a bridge, and he like turns to the camera and says something to the camera.
I'm just so tired of it. I don't like self-aware heroes.
So, and then I found something interesting. The creator of Deadpool, who's Robert Liefeld, he actually said that if a Deadpool movie, because they've leaked this stuff, but then they said, oh, a Deadpool movie's not getting made. So no one really knows if one's getting made or if they're just doing this to do it. No one knows what's going on. But the creator of Deadpool said that if a movie was ever made, the only actor he would give blessings for to be Deadpool would be Ryan Reynolds.
That's because Ryan Reynolds consistently takes flops on.
Well, but the other thing I would say is, you got to have a guy who's kind of got that smart ass.
You got to be snarky.
Yeah. And I think he's pretty good at that.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I can't judge it before. I mean, I could. But
so that was really our Comic-Con, non-Comic-Con stuff. So we'll get into Comic-Con stuff right now with Nerd News.
Nerd News.
All right.
Should we start with the kind of stuff that I find boring, or should we start with the stuff that I find super exciting?
Let's start boring.
Boring. Okay. So Avengers. So the Marvel properties, we'll start with.
What is boring about the Age of Ultron?
No, again, it's not that I find it boring. I'm just not a Marvel guy.
Because
right. Their characters aren't compelled by, like, a need to help each other. They're compelled by other reasons. Right. Avengers, Age of Ultron, they revealed some plot points. And then I think it was an Entertainment Weekly story that came out a few weeks ago. Basically, Tony Stark and Bruce Banner develop Ultron to be like an AI that fights bad guys so that the Avengers don't have to do anything.
Well, that's I'm not really well read, but didn't Ant-Man create him in the comics?
You're talking Marvel. I have no idea.
Or Hank, what's that guy's name? Hank Pygmy or Pig?
Hank Pygmy?
No.
Who's Hank Pygmy?
I'm grasping. You go ahead and keep talking. I'm going
to
look it up.
Okay, so basically they create Ultron to be an AI to fight bad guys so the Avengers don't have to do so much. Of course, what happens in every single story that's written that has artificial intelligence?
It turns on people.
Oh, big surprise there. It eventually becomes so...
Well, what else could it do?
Its main mission is to protect the human race, and it realizes that the only way to protect humans is to destroy humans. Which, if you go back in time, Batman the Animated Series did this about 25 years ago, but we'll leave that alone.
Hey, you know what? Judge Dredd's greatest adversary, Judge Death, does that too.
Exactly.
He judges you're guilty for being alive.
Right, exactly. Not really a big plot point there to me. However,
well, the name is Hank Pym. Jonathan, Dr. Henry Jonathan Hank Pym is the actual creator
of Ultron. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
In the lit.
So it looks like they're going to do a little bit of their own storytelling at this point to make sure they make their billions.
yeah, because he actually is Ant-Man. He becomes Ant-Man.
Right. So obviously, right.
Yeah.
So they had a panel just like they did in 2011 when they had all the Avengers on stage. They did it again this year. They had, you know, all 15, 20 people on stage, and they revealed some footage. And what I'll say is Marvel just has the nicest fans, because none of those, when they asked everyone to turn their phones off and cameras and not record it, they actually did it.
No, there's no leaked footage
anymore? I couldn't find any footage of the... I don't know if it was a trailer or a scene that they showed or what. I can't find it anywhere online.
Okay.
The cool thing I will say is Josh Brolin was there. They brought him out at the very end of the panel because he's obviously voicing Thanos.
Uh-huh.
And he came out on stage wearing the gold Infinity Gauntlet that Thanos wears.
How hokey did it look on it?
It looks pretty hokey. Looked pretty hokey. the one thing I will say is, I actually don't mind Robert Downey Jr.
Uh-huh.
But, so you know there's that lame line in The Avengers where he's, like, arguing with, who is the villain? Loki. He's arguing with Loki, and then he says that, the fucking worst line ever. We have a Hulk, right?
That's not the worst.
That's
line.
Fucking horrible. Fucking.
Oh, no, that's way better than that Dark Knight Rises line. Don't make me say it. If we're comparing worst lines.
No, I came back to stop you or whatever. Is that the line?
Oh, you came back to die with your city. No.
Again, I think this is what I'm going to promise right now. The next episode will be called, the next issue will be called Deconstructing the Dark Knight. And I'll finally go through point by point why The Dark Knight Rises is not a great Batman movie.
I don't think you even have to. Most people would probably agree.
So anyway, so he says that lame line, you know, we have a Hulk. Ha ha ha, everybody starts laughing in the theater. Mm-hmm. I puke. So when he's introing, so Downey Jr. intros like all the Avengers when they came out on stage for the panel. Mm-hmm. So when they're getting ready to bring Brolin out, he goes, I can't remember. He said something. A lot of films have great villains, but we have a Thanos. And I...
Now that's stupid.
And I just like...
We have a Hulk makes sense.
I turned it off. I was like, fuck this.
We have a Thanos.
I turned it off. I'm like, I'm not listening to this anymore. But Brolin came out on stage. He didn't really say much. He just came out and said something.
How do you know you turned it off?
I turned it back on because I wanted to see if they actually asked him anything about Thanos. But he literally like came out on stage, said hello, and then left.
Hi, guys. I'm Josh Brolin.
Yeah, pretty much. The other thing I found interesting was there's a different Quicksilver that's going to be in the new Avengers movie.
A different actor playing it?
Yeah, because you have to remember, who is it? Fox owns X-Men, but Marvel Disney owns the Avengers. So it's not going to be the same actor that played Quicksilver in X-Men, Days of Future Past. It's going to be a new Quicksilver.
Okay.
And the other thing that... So Chris Evans a few months ago was bitching about the fact that he's a billionaire now because he has to play Captain America over and over again. And he said, I can't keep playing the same character. I want to grow as an actor.
And he's not even played him that much.
Yeah, I know. So he was like talking about as soon as like, I can't remember if I think he said Avengers 2 or Avengers 3 was done. He was like going to retire and he's never going to play the character again.
He wants to just direct.
He got the largest like applause from the crowd going crazy when they said his name for the panel. So what I'm saying is, how can, like, this guy's an idiot.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of guys who claim that they're being typecasted or they're creatively sort of squashed, they're all stupid.
Right. So
you have a chance of a lifetime here.
Right. So it's just like, to me, if that was me and I'm like, man, I just hate playing this character. But once a year I go to this Comic-Con and people go ape shit just because I'm there. How can that not recharge your batteries for an entire year?
Well, no kidding. And really, I mean, let's be honest. How hard is it? I know there's a lot that goes into making a movie. I know acting takes work. I'm not trying to make it sound easy.
Well,
but really, compared
in
to...
In the Marvel movies, though, it doesn't take that much work.
You say a few lines, they say cut,
right.
And then you go to a different scene and you do that over and over again for an ungodly amount of hours. And then you just sit on your... You go to the next movie.
The thing I'll point to is you get to be a superhero.
Yeah, you're not at Las Vegas doing a stage show every night.
You understand how cool that is? Like, you get to be a superhero. You get to make believe for a living, and then you get to watch that as if you had those powers.
Yeah, and then you get to make money that it just puts important jobs to shame.
Right, like I put Bale in the same category because he bitched about playing Batman. I'm like, you get to be the most iconic fucking character. You're the character. You're bigger than Jesus. More people would recognize a picture of Batman than they would of Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. And, especially with how white they make Jesus all the time.
So what I'm saying is, and you're bitching? Like, you get to be the biggest character of all time in all of pop culture and all of history.
And you say, no, let me go off.
I don't know. I can't. You know, it's just, I'm just tired of playing the same character all the time. I can understand if you were playing like Jimmy Olsen from Superman and it was like a fucking nerdy, annoying like kid. But
you put the cape and the cowl on every couple of years. Woo, big whoop.
Right, exactly.
You're not doing it night after night for tips.
Right. I just, so
what
that's,
the fuck?
Chris Evans just bugged the fuck out of me when he's like, "Oh,
that bugs me too.
I'm gonna retire." And Robert Downey Jr. said the same thing too. It's like, fuck
you. I know.
Like,
but he'll do anything for more money.
He made like I think I remember he made $50 to $75 million for Avengers. Avengers.
I heard the number I heard was $50 million in Avengers.
Yeah. So fuck you. And I don't have the money to pick up my weekly books, and this guy's fucking bitching because he has to play Iron Man a few times.
I know.
Okay, so we'll get to the more exciting stuff, to me at least. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman were all on stage together at Comic-Con.
That's more exciting than the stuff we just talked about.
Way more exciting than the stuff we talked
Batman's
about.
Batman's exciting, but the other two gives a...
Are you kidding? Again,
come on.
If you're going to put it in the pantheon of like biggest, most well-known comic book characters in history, it's those three.
Yeah, well.
What does Marvel have for women? Nothing. Nothing.
Hang on.
Jean Grey?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Okay, so Wonder Woman obviously wins that.
All right.
Batman's biggest. Win. Superman, they're over 75 years old. Like, Those are the biggest.
They still look good for their age.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at. So the whole cast was on stage. Snyder revealed a new picture of Ben Affleck in the Batman costume.
They did see that.
I love it because it's the Miller bat suit. So it's like the short ears. It's more, it's not armor. It's more just regular, I don't even know, Lycra, I guess you'd call it.
What do you suppose the advantage is to not being able to take a bullet anymore?
Well, I think the thing to me is, I kind of like the fact that he's not worried about taking a bullet.
You don't think he's even going to get
hit? It's like, I'm just such a fucking badass, I don't worry about someone shooting me.
Well, wait a minute, can he move his head? Now,
yeah,
or
he
his
can
neck?
Move his head because it's the Miller bat. It's
off?
The Miller bat suit. So of course,
I knew you used to love the fact that they could.
The Batman Begins. Okay, in the Nolan trilogy, Batman Begins bat suit is my favorite
because he can't turn his head. Which that makes no logical sense. That's the criteria for your favorite.
Well, because it also, I mean, the Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises suit, especially the Rises suit, because you see it in the daylight, which to me is weird. You should never see Batman during the day. It just looked like it looked like one of those guys you see riding crotch rockets on the highway.
What are you looking at?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm trying to get from point A to point B to get groceries.
If you're going
to
go... If you're going to try to tell me a realistic Batman story, like, you can't say, you can't just bend the will of everything. Like, oh, well, we invented this suit that's da-da-da-da. I want it to be like, yeah, we couldn't find the suit that lets you turn your head, so you got to fucking make do with this. Okay, cool, I'll still beat the shit out of people, even if I can't turn my head.
Can you tell a realistic Batman story? Let's back on up to that comment.
Begins is about as close. Begins, well, not Begins, I guess. Dark Knight would probably be as close as you could get.
Yeah.
Other than the Two-Face shit. But Dark Knight would probably be as close as you could get to telling a realistic one.
It doesn't take much of a fall to kill a Two-Face.
Two stories.
We got a Two-Face and he died. Hope Thanos doesn't die.
I don't think you can kill the Mad Titan. But what was I going to say? I'm going to spend the whole movie saying I can't kill anyone and then push someone out of a window and kill them. But anyway, we'll get to that issue one day. So new Batfleck picture put up. Pretty cool. I dig the short ears.
Did you see the one with him glowing eyes?
Superman, you mean? Or the Batman?
The
Well, that's what I was going to get to. They obviously showed the footage. Did you actually see like the footage trailer?
No, I just saw like a still shot of Batman glowing blue eyes with the armor.
You got to see the footage. I thought you'd see the footage. It's like 40 seconds.
Oh,
I was trying to look for it today to send it to you and I couldn't find it. If I find it, I'll send it to you, but I'll explain it. It's dark. It's obviously a Batman movie, so it's dark.
Yeah.
Storm. So you're getting just lightning flashes lighting up like the scene every once in a while.
Okay.
You see a like dark figure pull the cloak like a cloth off of something and turn on the bat signal. So bat signal shoots up into the sky. So you see like, and it's the Miller style bat symbol. So it's like that fat, it's called the fat bat basically. So it's like that symbol in the sky. So it's like, oh, that's cool. So then like it's shining in the sky, lightning bolt happens. So it goes dark, comes back up. Superman's now floating in the like middle of the bat symbol basically in the sky. And it cuts to like his face and his eyes start glowing red. Superman's does. Then it cuts to Batman, and the picture you probably saw was this. It like zooms down and he's wearing the big armored suit and the eyes are glowing white, and then that was it.
It's kind of like, looks like the animated series kind of with his eyes.
Yeah, it looks like the animated series with his eyes, but obviously, I mean, if you go to the end, you know, book 4 of The Dark Knight Returns, it looks like that suit that he wears when he finally fights Superman.
Yeah, I forgot about that panel. I'll have to look at
that. So, I mean, it looks... I mean, the armor looks a lot like that. So, obviously, people were making assumptions like, oh, man, this is going to be exactly like The Dark Knight Returns.
All that says to me is there's just more marketing for toys.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Tons of little... You know, this is Batman with the aqua suit. And
right. Oh, well, yeah, obviously.
All those.
So, I mean, and we've talked about that before. Yeah. Nolan made no toys available.
You can't make any toys. Yeah, it was just plain Batman.
Right, you can't make any toys from the Nolan series.
Crotch Rocket Batman. And
and then to cap off, so they brought, they showed the clip, then they brought Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, and Gal Gadot up on stage. They didn't give them microphones.
Oh, which I thought was, they didn't need them.
Which I thought was funny because they didn't do a panel. Because Snyder doesn't want anyone to know any details about the movie. So they did no panel. They just brought him out on stage. Then they showed the Wonder Woman costume, which I didn't really...
How's it look?
I didn't really notice this until my wife said it to me. She said it looks like Xena, the Warrior Princess's costume.
Well, that's kind of what it looks... Isn't that kind of what it always looked like?
Well, the colors are much duller. They're more of a coppery... Like, it's not the bright red and blue colors.
Well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing I thought was funny, so people are going nuts, look at the Wonder Woman costume, oh my god. And then a day later, Snyder put a tweet up or something and said, Wonder Woman, just to let everyone know, the Wonder Woman costume isn't finalized. So even the picture they showed isn't necessarily going to be like anything. And I think they also said the footage they showed isn't even a scene from the movie.
Just for the trailer,
it's just
probably.
Like, yeah. So, really, everything they showed us, it gives us no details on the movie at all.
It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with.
So, I mean, obviously, I knew they were going to do something. I didn't think they'd get, like, all three of them there.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. In the clip where they bring them out, Ben Affleck does not look happy to be there.
It's a little different venue for him.
He just does not have the look of like, yeah, I'm fucking Batman. You know what I mean? Like,
he just looks brooding,
walks out on stage and Henry Cavill kind of, you know, has like the, obviously like the more charming Superman look to him. So it's just kind of funny because it's like, I told my wife, it doesn't really look like Ben Affleck wants to be there.
I never really got any indication from Ben Affleck that he was excited for this. Really, during the whole announcement, any of the photos, like, but maybe he's just a really private guy. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything from him. I've heard his wife say that, like, she's, like, excited, and he's got two daughters, so how fucking cool is that, to your kids, you get to be actually Batman.
You get to have quite the comeback to your career.
Right, exactly.
It started with Argo in the Town and maybe finishes with this.
Well, and I mean, if he signed on for like 8 movies, like they purportedly said his contract was for.
He'll hate it by the second movie.
I'm sure he'll hate it eventually.
I'm going to retire.
I'm sure he'll hate it eventually. But if he signed on for as many movies as they want to shoot, this could definitely end his career.
Yeah, that's fine.
So let's get into stuff. That was obviously I'll touch on this too. Moving away from Batman, back to Marvel real quick. Probably one of the only Marvel characters I actually like. At one of the panels, it was one of the Avengers panels, because somebody who's involved with that film is involved with the Daredevil Netflix show.
Oh, okay.
Because somebody asked him a question. They didn't do anything on the Daredevil Netflix show at Comic-Con, but somebody asked him a question about it, and he said it's set to air in May of next year. So Daredevil Netflix will come on May of 2015. Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously that's exciting. I don't really know how you can fuck that up. I mean, there are ways to, but...
You could view all the episodes at once then, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be great.
It's going to be incredible.
If they follow the Arrow style, like I think it's going to be great for Netflix and for that character. So let's get into monsters.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a monster movie guy.
I like monsters, yeah, for sure.
I'm not as big into monsters.
What do you got against them?
I don't think I have anything against him. I just think that I'm not saying I'll go see a monster movie, but I'm just saying that it's not necessarily something to me that's like, oh man, did you see they're making a Cthulhu? If they made a Cthulhu movie, I'd probably go see it.
Oh, that would be.
I don't know.
Well,
I guess I don't really have anything against
Lovecraft.
Yeah, I guess I don't have anything against monsters really.
Well, they're not really done well often.
No.
You know, that's maybe what it is.
I think they're not done well often, and they're done too much, I mean to say.
Yeah, they're sort of like cannon fodder. They're big, stupid things for heroes to fight. I mean, I enjoyed Pacific Rim for what it was, but it was just a big, dumb monster movie. And Hellboy is dumb monsters are in
and
it.
And what was that, Cloverfield?
Cloverfield was well done. If you're a fan of that whole like perspective footage, shooting camera, yeah. I'm not a huge fan of that.
So here's our monster news. I can't remember Gareth Edwards, correct? He did Godzilla.
Yeah. Yep.
He announced Godzilla 2 is in some pre-production work. I think he's still writing it potentially.
You saw that coming, yeah.
So that's big news, obviously, for that franchise. How many more fucking Godzilla movies are we going to have to see? Like, they already made 30 of them, I think, like in the old Japanese serial, so...
Well, it's really funny because now when these big dorky movies do well, they get on the sequel really fast.
Yeah,
I mean, you were never guaranteed stuff like that back in the day. No. It's like, oh, we got our first Godzilla movie in 10 years.
Right. You know. Well, they did the 98 Godzilla and then just kind of, oh, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's the 90s to me were just like, let's blow our load on one movie and then not talk about it.
What about Men in Black? Men in Black.
Yeah, well, they had some interesting monsters.
Then Legendary, who obviously was the production company behind the first Godzilla, showed some footage. I don't really know how it connects exactly, but Legendary did a panel, and they showed some footage of Rodan, Mothra, and then Ghidorah, King Ghidorah.
I don't know Ghidorah.
I think it's just another big lizard.
They're so unique, each one. I know Mothra flies, duh.
Right.
I think Rodan does, too.
So, obviously, I'm going to make sure Ghidorah is... Yeah, Ghidorah is the three-headed, like, lizard.
Oh. It's on the tip
with
of my
wings.
Tongue. Oh, so a lot of them fly.
Right. Sorry. They showed footage for that. No one really knows. Is that connected to the Gareth Edwards movie? Are they just going to try and launch other monster movies starring these characters?
Is it going to be like Spider-Man 3 and just have tons of villains? The new monster coming at you every
But the other
minutes.
Thing I don't like is when they make a monster movie and then they make the monster, like the humans have to have the monster.
Wait, the humans have to have
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, man, Godzilla, Rodan's attacking the city. Stop him.
Oh, yeah. Well, what else could you do?
But, I mean, what I'm getting at is, why would something that's terrorized us before, why would I want to root for that?
Wait, Godzilla doesn't terrorize.
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
I mean, compared to these, I get what you're saying. A lot of people always want, like, the human component taken out of monster movies, which is always interesting because I don't think that's ever really been done.
Right.
Like, you've never sat there and watched a feature 2.5-hour film where there weren't humans. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Not at all.
That would be interesting, and I think it would probably be very hard to pull off well. I don't think anybody could really do it.
Well.
Maybe Wes Anderson could do it.
Here's going off of that. They've also announced a King Kong Skull Island movie. No real details have surfaced, but from what I've read on it, it sounds kind of like what you're talking about. It's going to be set more and focus more, not necessarily on King Kong himself, but on the island in which he comes from.
So is this Peter Jackson?
I mean,
he's got to have something to do after this year.
I don't think
he's done with Lord of the Rings forever.
I can look that up, but I don't think his name was brought up because, dear God, if he makes another abortion like he did the first King Kong.
The first King Kong, the on the island part, was quite entertaining, I thought.
It was okay. It was just that fucking movie was fucking long.
It was long, and King Kong himself is not that compelling. I don't like the romance behind it. It's just fucking weird. Like, a chick getting attached to a... I mean, you're never going to be able to have sex with him, okay? It's weird. Get romance out of my monster movies.
Right.
It's like a giant, hairy Phantom of the Opera.
Right.
I don't want it.
Yeah. That's a good point. I never thought of it that way. The director who has been rumored to be attached is Joe Cornish.
Don't know him. What's he done? Like Wonder Years?
He has done... Oh,
Do I have to look?
I can't even think of it now. Now that you said that, I've completely forgot.
Joe Cornish, Attack the Block.
There you go.
Who is that? Tintin, Hot Fuzz. Oh, I liked Hot Fuzz.
The Adventures of Tintin. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, I mean, well, he did the screenplay for Tintin. He didn't direct it. So, yeah, no Peter Jackson, it looks like. But that might... Peter Jackson makes movies long just to make movies long.
Yeah, I'd love to see him do a 90-minute movie. I don't think he can.
I don't think he can.
There's not enough New Zealand in this movie. It's like, all right, dude, we know where you live.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so...
He should come film Detroit, make Detroit look good, and I'll see it.
That's what Snyder's going to do. I think Snyder's going to make Detroit look good.
We'll see.
As Metropolis / Gotham City.
We'll see. I could definitely see him see it as Gotham. Detroit as Metropolis?
They're shooting right now all in Detroit at the moment. So I've seen some like vehicles that they've put up online that say Metropolis Police Department and... Metropolis City Transit and all that shit. So
interesting.
So I think they're going to try and... Well, the downtown sections of Detroit aren't bad. Hmm. It's just the outskirts.
Like, yeah, if you can get past the outskirts alive,
right,
you can see the rest.
So since we've ended on there, King Kong, Godzilla, I thought, and we agreed that the top five this week, there's no better way to do it. The top five. Let's get into top five first.
Top five. Okay.
And then we do our top five monsters.
Yeah, yeah. I've got some monsters on here.
Mine are a little eclectic.
Mine too.
I guess you could say. Again, I don't watch a lot of monster movies, but okay. I tried to come up with the best list I could think of. So I'll start off.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just go back and forth. Your five, then my number five.
Number five, the Kraken.
The Kraken in what movie?
Well, the only one I can remember him in is in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, is he in there?
Yeah, he's in the second one, I believe.
Doesn't Liam Neeson release a Kraken? In that Titan movie?
I don't know.
Did you ever see that?
No, I don't think I did.
Liam Neeson is Zeus in the movie?
I don't think I did. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think so as well. I put him because I think that's as close as we've gotten to a Cthulhu on film.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
So that's why I chose the Kraken.
My fifth one is, I sort of lump a couple of them in there as one sort of unit, and they're the monsters in the old cartoon Ah, Real Monsters from Nickelodeon. They're the bottom because that was a great show about monsters, and they had a school, and there was an example of the human element kind of being gone.
Is it true? That is true. Is it? Well, so, but they still, the monsters were pretty much humans, though.
Yeah, they were humanoid.
Yeah. What about are Monsters Inc. going to be?
No, no. I'm telling you, mine's eclectic too.
Number four, I'm going to go a little deep here. Mm-hmm. The Balrog from Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah, he's pretty cool.
I love it. The fire and the big horns and obviously pretty badass. Well, not really even a fight scene, really.
No, he's terrifying, though. A lot of times when you just hear him coming, that's what makes it so scary.
So the Balrog would be number four for me.
Number four for me would be the Gaza Strip.
Oh, my God.
Right? Timely, huh?
That's...
so many monstrosities there. No, I'm kidding. Not the Gaza Strip.
Oh, my God.
I just want to see if you're paying attention.
Okay. Humanity is humanity your number four.
Yeah, it could be really just for four, let's just make that like human nature. For me.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that's my number four.
Just like you're not even pulling from like fictional things now.
Oh, they're coming. They're coming. Okay. I don't like a whole lot of monsters, so I got my top two really.
Okay. Number three. Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
From the Gremlins franchise. I love that
Gizmo.
Movie.
Gizmo.
Well, Gizmo's not really a gremlin.
He's a likable monster.
Yeah, he's not really... I wouldn't put him in the... and if now that you've said that, I can't remember. What's his actual name?
But he hatches monsters, so isn't that the biggest monster of them all? The creator. Is that cynical?
So is Frankenstein the monster, or is Frankenstein's monster the monster?
This is deep.
That's, I know that's deep. The Mogwai. See, he's,
oh yes, the Mogwai.
Gizmo's the Mogwai. I don't really count him, but I like Stripe. You know, the one gremlin that has like the mohawk.
Mm-hmm. And he's a, what about the spider one?
Ooh, that's a good one too. Mm-hmm. I like, well, like one of the, to me, that's, I always say this to people, to me that's like one of the most underrated Christmas movies of all time.
Right up there with Die Hard. Those are my two favorites.
But I love the scene where like all the gremlins like take over the town bar, and they're all just like, it's cheesy and the jokes are like, you know, overdone. But yeah. I still laugh every time I see, like, the ones, like, smoking, like, a cigarette and, like, swinging from the fucking ceiling fan. And, like, one's got a lampshade on his head. For some reason, that scene will always make me chuckle.
It was well done. As corny and awful as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really, I mean, I don't know if they could get away with doing a Gremlins movie in the modern day, because they would try to Jar Jar Binks it much.
I'd want it to be
with
those.
A wink and a nod.
Yeah, I'd want it to be those. They didn't use like CGI. It was all like animatronic or whatever.
Yeah. And you, even if it's sort of a comedy, you have to take your premise seriously, because if you're making fun of your premise, like nobody, it's just going to be a constant comic relief.
Right.
And I think so many people do that these days.
Right.
My number three would be Donald Sterling.
Oh, my God.
Clippers donor.
You're somewhat upsetting me, but that's okay.
Why? Because I don't have real monsters? You don't think Donald Sterling was a real monster? Mel Gibson?
I think the things he said were monstrous.
That's true. That's true. We don't have to dehumanize him. No, I'll go with Slimer then.
Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons.
Classic. Do you know who... I mean, this is not really... This is in the lexicon. People know this. But do you know who Slimer is based on?
No.
John Belushi.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think because Dan Aykroyd always wanted John Belushi to play Pete Venkman in the series. Mm-hmm. But obviously John Belushi died. And so that Dan Aykroyd has always said Slimer is the ghost of John Belushi. That's why he's like eating and drinking. And
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two for me, same movie franchise.
Oh.
The Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
I was just going to say it. Yeah. It is rather terrifying to see that thing coming through the streets.
That's a great character. That's actually one of the best like costumes I ever saw at a Halloween party that I went to. Do you know you can buy those like big blow up suits?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody came as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in one of those suits.
Oh my
and it
God.
Was awesome. Like he had the hardest fucking time getting around the party because his costume was just huge. But I was like,
knocking shit off the
wall. I was like, that's dedication.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's a good monster, though. What do? They fry that thing at the end with their little guns?
Well, they did shoot him eventually, but then once they crossed the streams.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there you go.
The greatest argument for swords in a metaphor.
There you go.
When you're growing up. Number two, I got to go with the Predator.
Of course. I figured you'd go with Predator.
He's got to be on there somewhere.
Right. I actually figured it'd be number one for you, but.
It was close.
So.
It was close. And. He's still timeless and terrifying.
Yeah, sure. I haven't seen the movies yet, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, we still got to do that. Well, I hope you've seen the movies my number one is in here in a second. What's your next one?
This
your number one.
I'll probably edit this out, but I did this to half for comedy, but half for real, too.
Oh, okay.
Number one. Trantor... The Troll.
Trantor. Who's that?
From the oftentimes forgotten Ernest Scared Stupid.
Oh, shit. Fun fact, I watched that movie every weekend when I was growing up. I mean, I didn't have a lot of friends. I mean, I had a few. It was a good... That was a scary movie at the time.
Now, why he's number one is... I actually became frightened from watching Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
That movie actually scared me as a kid.
Well, the woods were a character in and of themselves.
Right.
And that the woods were like foggy and twisted trees.
Right.
And very Tim Burton woods.
So, yeah, that's why I always think I can remember when we went and rented the VHS from the movie store.
Yeah.
And obviously, big fan of Ernest Goes to Jail. Ernest Saves Camp. Ernest Saves Christmas. Probably one of the greatest films ever made.
I've only seen Scared Stupid.
So my mom goes, oh, look, we could get Ernest Scared Stupid. I'm thinking 90 minutes of Ernest hijinks set in Halloween. I'm in. But boy, was I terrified after watching that movie.
Man, and you thought my monsters were kind of lame in the beginning. I mean, let's think about this. There's not a terrifying monster on your list, like a truly terrifying one.
The Kraken.
Like one that, okay, if you were locked.
You're saying
in
the
room,
Balrog is not scary. Yeah. And Gremlins. You're saying to me, like the Gremlins aren't terrifying. They were killing people left and right in that flick.
My number one. What do you think it is?
I'm going to say Alien.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Where else would I put it? Xenomorph, number one.
I actually thought it would be... when we said we were going to do this as top five, I figured you'd do Alien 2 and Predator 1.
I was really thinking about doing that. But no, only because, as a whole, the Alien movies were more well-written and better than any of the
Predators.
The first Predator movie was good.
Yeah, you're right.
But they deserve better in a lot of the category. And really, there were two just knock it out of the park Alien movies.
Right.
So now you've seen those movies, right? Like Alien and Aliens?
No.
What?
No, I don't. No.
You've never seen the original Alien, the 19...
No, I know I haven't seen the original Alien. I'm trying to think if I've seen, like, the sequels.
Well, no wonder you don't like monster movies. You haven't watched the correct ones.
See, because I'm trying to remember. Okay, there was Alien.
I have Blu-rays.
Then there were Aliens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, those are the two. That's the greatest example of a 1-2 punch, along with Terminator 2,
then,
right up there.
What about, wasn't there like Alien 3?
Yeah, we don't talk about that one as much, but yeah.
I feel like that might have been
David Finch
the one,
did that, I think.
That might have been the one I've seen.
Where they're, she's bald.
She's bald,
Sigourney
Weaver.
Well, they tried to kind of recapture the feel of Alien on that, and Alien 3 is not a terrible movie. It was the fact that... You ever see a movie where it's like, oh, man, they just learned how to do computer effects?
Right.
And it was right. It was a victim of that,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a David Fincher movie,
yeah,
which is interesting for directing. But it was well written, and it was legitimately scary at times because they did a lot of vision of the alien running after people from its perspective. I thought that was cool.
What about the aliens from Signs?
They were kind of...
They were
until
scary.
You throw some water on them.
Well, the thing that I told...
Hit them with a
the
baseball
thing that
bat.
I even told... I mean, I've told people about this. The best thing about that movie is you never really see them.
Yeah, until the
right.
end. Yeah, it was scary when the one was outside standing on the roof and you look out the window. Holy crap.
I don't remember that part.
No. That was a good scare. It was early in the movie.
Oh, and he runs into, like, the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that actually still sticks with me to this day is the fingers under the door.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can remember when I watched that movie, I was like, holy shit. Like, I never generally jump during movies, but I was like, oh, fuck, when those fingers came out from under the door. I don't know why, but I was like...
You'll love Alien then. Come on. You will.
So, there we go. Top five. Trantor and... Alien. What was the alien's name? Why am I blanking?
Xenomorph.
That's right. Okay. I knew it was something like that. So there you go. That's the top five. I think that's all we have for this week. We have exhausted monsters and superheroes and movies and cons and molestation of women in costumes.
Yep. That's.
There's nothing else more you can do.
There's nothing else. I've been Rabid Ryan.
And I am, what was I, Proficient Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
You gotta get more proficient with monster movies, though. I'm telling you.
Well, we got to do Predator and Alien. Then it looks like on a weekend.
Well, it's gonna be a good weekend.
There was another one that I felt like I needed to watch. Oh, and we got to watch Clock King.
Oh yeah, Clock King. Because you're gonna prove that he's a good.
I'm gonna prove that he's a good. He's a not that necessarily he's a good villain, but that he has merit as a villain. Isn't that what all villains are looking for? That they have merit.
Fine.
So until Fine. Next time, everybody, we'll get back at you 2 weeks. So we'll talk to you again in August. See ya.
Later.
Super Zero Podcast Heroes.